God, we thank you so much for this morning. God, we have waited all week to hear from you. God, we thank you that Pastor Jeff has spent a good amount of time in your presence and in your word with your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you have been speaking to him, that he may speak to us what is on your heart, but not of the world, Lord. We pray that you would allow us to receive your word this morning. We pray for Pastor Jeff as he delivers this message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Whew. It's good. It's really good. So last week we talked about what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord, and that when we're in the presence of God, oftentimes he shows up and he likes to do amazing things because he's God. And that's what God does. And debated like back and forth, which one do you talk about first, being in the presence of God or learning how to listen to what God is saying to you? And maybe it's the cart and the horse or the chicken and the egg. I don't know which it is. But today we're talking about discerning the Father's voice. And when you discern the voice of the Father, God, when you're present with him, oftentimes he shows up and really cool things happen. And but how do we do that? So I was there early on in ministry, and I was having a conversation with another pastor at the time, who's now an assistant district superintendent in our district, Dave Jansen. And he said, "Jeff, does God ever speak to you?" Well, yeah, you know, I read the Bible, and the words come off the page, and God speaks to me. And he says, "Yeah, but oftentimes, because of our relationship with God, he speaks to us and prompts us to do things for him, to be with him, and to assist others." And I said, "Well, you know, give me an example, because I think this has happened to me before, but I'm really not sure. I'm young in ministry. Talk to me about this." And he goes, "All right, so for example, a couple years ago, when I was early on in ministry, I was driving down the road, and I felt like God said, 'Pull off at the next exit, go down the road, and you'll find a little church there. Go inside and pray with the pastor. He needs to hear from me.'" And he said, "Man, that is the strangest thought in the world. Maybe I had something bad to eat. Clearly, I misheard him." And he's getting closer and closer to the exit, and he was feeling more and more anxious that he needed to get off the highway, go down the road, and see if there was a church that was there. And he went right on past the exit. This is right on past the exit. And he thought about it all week. Like, "I wonder if there's, should I go back and see if there's a church down the road and see if there's a pastor there?" And eventually it left his mind. 2 weeks later, he was at the local mall, and he was walking down the mall with his wife. His wife was shopping. He was kind of people watching, and she would go into the store and come back. And he was kind of people watching, and he saw this older gentleman, and he felt like God said into his brain, "Go talk to that man. He needs to hear from me." Wow, that's a strange thought. I don't know that guy from Adam. I'm not going to walk over and talk to that guy. So he went the other way. He ran into the guy 3 more times at the mall. And every time he walked into the guy, he felt like, "Man, I should talk to this guy." Finally, the 4th time, he comes around the bend, and they run smack dab into each other. And he goes, "Hey, I'm really sorry. And can I just ask you a question?" And the man said, "Sure." And he goes, "You know, I'm a pastor, nearby, and sitting here in the mall, just kind of mind my own business. I felt like God said I should pray for you. Is that weird?" And the guy started crying. And he said, "I'm a pastor too. I work at this little church off the highway, about a mile off the highway at this exit. I've been praying for 2 weeks that somebody would come and remind me of why I'm doing what I'm doing." And the 2 of them have this moment in the mall because God spoke. And he said, "Jeff, yeah, the word of God speaks to us. But when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he calls us to more. So don't be afraid." So let's talk about this for a second, because, okay, how do we discern this? How do we discern that what we're hearing in our brain is correct? And so I believe this. There are always 3 voices that speak into our head. Three voices. Maybe you've never thought about this before, but if you've ever watched a cartoon in the 80s, there's a main character, and there's a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, and they're competing, and they fight, and they battle, and then the person's got to decide. We do it in cartoons, but then we don't necessarily think about it as we get older. But I believe there's three voices that speak into our minds: God's, ours, and the enemy. And so thoughts will pop into your brain, and some of them are yours, some of them are from God, and some are not. And sometimes it's very difficult to discern the difference. So let's look at some scripture this morning. I'm going to do something I've never done at Living Christ Church before. I'm going to look at two passages of scripture this morning. Bear with me. Ephesians chapter 1. It's page 1133 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. I love this book. It speaks very simply and yet very profoundly to us. And we're going to start in verse 3. And this is what it said. This is kind of the backstory to get us to the place where I would like to get us this morning, right? This is some truth from Paul to the church in Ephesus and to you and to me. Praise be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to adoption to his sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, listen to this, with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time had reached its fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and under earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose and will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ Jesus, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth of the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, and you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So I think first and foremost, this is an easy one. God is always speaking to us through the word of God, the words of God, right? Can we agree upon that? He's always speaking to us through scripture. So we need to understand a couple things in regards to scripture. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time. I mean, we can do some training on this, but this very simply, how to discern what the Bible is saying. Scripture means what it says unless the context tells you otherwise. All right? When we look at scripture through our lens and our understanding, then we have an opportunity to misinterpret scripture. But scripture means what it says unless something about the context tells us otherwise. And so that's why we have to dig into this thing, read it, look at historical context, linguistic context, because there's things that come into play that dictate how the word should really be read. But scripture will never contradict Jesus. Like sometimes when we view the Bible through our lens, we interpret it incorrectly, right? So if we're reading scripture through our lens and interpreting it incorrectly, then we see this, that the words of God, whenever the words of God lead us away from the word of God, who is Jesus, then we're reading it wrong. When the words of God lead us away from the word of God, who is Jesus, then we're reading it incorrectly. And what did we learn here? That everything hinges on Christ. It hinges on him. And he is about unity of the body. And if it steers us away from that, then it's not God speaking. And in every and all situation, God is the hero. If you're the hero of the story, then it's not from God. I'll give you an example of reading scripture incorrectly. Several years ago, a guy from the church called me up, and he said, "Hey, can we do breakfast?" I said, "Sure." So we're sitting eating breakfast, and he says, "Hey, listen, so I've been reading the Bible a lot, and there's this lady in church, and I watch her read the Bible. She's passionate about the Word of God, and I listened to her read the Bible the other day, and so I don't know what to do with that." "What do you mean you don't know what to do with that? You're married with two kids. This woman is not your wife." "Yeah, but she's so in love with Jesus, and I'm so in love with Jesus. My wife is struggling with her relationship with God. So I'm wondering, based on my understanding of Scripture, if I should go after this other lady." And some of it would shake our heads and go, slap him upside the head, which is what I wanted to do with the love of Jesus. What I wanted to say is, you're listening to the wrong person. "But, but she's so in love with Jesus, and I'm in love with Jesus." No. Scripture means what it says unless the context tells you otherwise. I don't know what contextual understanding of Scripture that you're looking at, but nowhere in Scripture does it say to leave your spouse for another woman. It's not in there. You show it to me, we'll have a conversation, but it's not in there. And I wish I could tell you that he left that conversation and was like, "Oh, Pastor Jeff was so right." No, he went and had an affair. So this understanding and discerning of when God is speaking to us, I believe is really important because we can screw this thing up. So let's keep on looking at some scripture this morning. Let's keep going in this passage because it continues to talk to us. So Christ came, he died, you've been lavished with love and grace, and he speaks to us through the word. And then Paul says this to the church in Ephesus, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." I keep on asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you know him better. There's a progression of reading the word of God, scripture, that leads us to a deeper understanding of who he is. And in that deeper understanding of who he is, he still speaks. He speaks all throughout scripture in a ton of different ways. And I want to give you a couple of them now. If you want to, inside your bulletin, there's a piece of scripture. There's a little piece of paper in there. If you want to flip it over and write these down, these are the ways I see, and we can have a longer, you can come and talk to me after. We can have a long conversation about this. I'm really passionate about this. In scripture, we see that God speaks audibly, out loud to people, all throughout scripture. And I believe, Pastor Jeff believes, that he still does that today. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's times when God will still speak audibly to you and to me. I wish it was every day. I was driving home yesterday from the Adirondacks. I was borrowing my brother's car, and he's got this little panel on the left-hand side, and it blinks to you everything that's wrong with the car. I got like halfway home and said, coolant low, stop safely, and I started freaking out. And I called him up, and I was like, what are you, coolant's in the trunk, pull over, fill it up, you're good. Next exit, got over, filled up. I wish sometimes God would put that in the sky and go, Jeff, you're doing it wrong. Do it this way. He doesn't always, but he does sometimes. He does sometimes. In Scripture, we see that he speaks in a still small voice to us sometimes. And then that little cartoon, you got the little angel on one shoulder and the demon on the other. And we're like, wow, that was a strange thought. It was a good thought. It's the still small voice of the Lord. Sometimes he speaks to us in words, like a word will pop into your head, and you're like, wow, what is that word pop in my head for? If it leads to Christ and to unity and building and edifying other people, then it's always from the Lord. And then oftentimes he'll speak to our mind. He'll speak to our mind, because this is the control field. And so it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Like, wow, that's really strange. It's really saying that the intellect that takes place up here would minister with your soul, and those two things would come together, and you would act upon them. So the word of God that's going in your brain about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness would mash up with your brain in your soul and would cause you to act for good. And God has used all those different things to speak to me. I'll just give you one just recently. I've kind of gotten in this habit that if I ever see somebody who reminds me of somebody else, I start praying for that somebody else. I'm walking down the street, I see somebody, oh, that reminds me of so-and-so. I start thinking about them. And then I say this is, Lord, do you want me to pray for them? Which is, now that I think about it, like kind of a strange thought. If I'm thinking about somebody, why not? Let's pray for them. And so then I got in the habit of, when I have those kind of situations, just send a text. Hey, how you doing? So the other day, I'm driving down the road, and this Mahindra tractor commercial came out. And maybe you have no idea what Mahindra tractors are. I had no idea what Mahindra tractors were until a couple years ago. Some friends of ours from the church I pastored in Pennsylvania, they bought this Mahindra dealership, where they put Mahindra tractors. They're from Japan. They come here, they put them together, and it's the most sold tractor in America, apparently. Sorry, John Deere. So they put these Mahindras together. And I'm listening to ESPN radio, and this commercial comes on like six times. And in my brain pops the family that bought this dealership. And so I go, Lord, do you want me to pray for this family? Yes, Jeff. Anytime you think you're supposed to pray for somebody, the word of God, you know, kind of coincides with that, and you should probably do it. So I start praying for this family, and I honed in on the older sister, the older daughter, and started praying for her. And I kind of felt like God was saying in my brain, and he was using my brain to say, she's got a decision that she's got to make, and I want you to intercede for her. And she needs to know that I'm in the middle of that decision, and I love her. So send her a text. It was so strong. I was with Jaime, and I'm like, hold on a second, man. I got to stop. And I'm like, I started texting her, and I said, hey, listen, this is really strange. I heard the Mahindra commercial. I thought of you guys. I just started praying for you. Is there anything that I could pray for you about? And she texts back. She's like, oh, my goodness. I'm trying to decide what to do with my life. I feel like I'm having a midlife crisis. I applied to these two jobs. I'm not sure if I should take them or not. There's this guy I'm dating. It's probably not the right guy. I probably should break up with him. And yeah, so you have some decisions to make. And I said, by the way, I just feel like God's telling me to say, he loves you, he cares about you, he sees you in the middle of all this. And she texts back and said, Jeff, you have no idea. I haven't talked to this girl in a year and a half. When I look at Scripture, and I read Scripture, it is not just words on a page, right? It is active and breathing. and wants to do stuff in your life. But God wants to take it deeper than that. It can't be just reading something. It manifests, takes shape and form, and causes us to act. So as the eyes of our heart are enlightened, as our intellect coincides with our soul, it causes our feet to act. It causes our feet to act and our mouths to open. And so now I want you to flip over to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. If you don't want to, I put verse 8 in your bulletins, which is really the crux of where I'm going. And so if this is confusing, I want to make it super simple for you. In Ephesians 4, or Philippians 4, verse 4 reads this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding and will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now listen to verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he goes on to tell the church in Philippi, whatever you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. If you ever question the thoughts that are rolling around in your brain, this is your checklist. Right? So that piece of paper in your bulletin with that passage of scripture on it, this is what I would like you to do. This is your action step. I want you to put that somewhere in your house or at work. Put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Put it on your desk at work. Stick it in your car somewhere. We have it on our wall at our house as a reminder. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when those three voices go off in your head, if it lines up with this passage of Scripture, it is God speaking to you. Right? And as you begin to listen to God, your thoughts and his thoughts come together into one thought, and the world is changed. Right? The world is changed. So we have to practice this. We got to practice this. And when we practice this, we get better and better at hearing God speak to us, not just through the words of God, but also to our spirit, right? As our mind and our heart collide, causing us to act. So I told you about Pastor Eric last week, and I'll land with this one. This is what it looks like when we continue to hone and learn and listen to God speaking. He said, Jeff, I got to tell you this story. I was a youth pastor in upstate New York. It was the middle of a snowstorm, and it felt like God say to me, Eric, I want you to drive down the road to the grocery store. God, it's the middle of a snowstorm. I'm not driving down the road to a grocery store. Clearly, that was my thought, not your thought, and it just kept on coming in his head. Get in your car, drive down the road to the grocery store. All right, so he gets in the car, drives down the road to the grocery store. All right, Lord, what am I doing? Buy some flowers. Oh, yeah, I haven't bought my wife flowers in a while. That's a good idea. I'll buy my wife some flowers. She needs some flowers. So he goes in the grocery store, he buys some flowers, and God says, they're not for your wife. They're for an elderly couple. This is what he hears in his brain. He's like looking around the store. There is no elderly couple. Clearly, I'm crazy. This is wrong. And he felt like God say, wait. He waited at the store 45 minutes in the middle of the snowstorm. His wife's probably going, what in the world is going on? Sitting in the grocery store 45 minutes. He's just waiting. No elderly couple. Because it's the middle of a snowstorm. No person in the right mind is there except for Pastor Eric. He's like, all right, Lord, clearly I misunderstood you. My listener is off. I'm going to go get back in my car. He gets back in his car. And he felt like God said, wait, one more minute. Just wait one more minute. One more minute. Car pulls in. Elderly couple gets out and goes in the grocery store. What in the world is going on? So he sits there and he waits for them to come back down. He says, all right, God, what do you want me to do with these flowers? And he felt like God say, go up to the husband and ask permission of the husband to give the flowers to the wife. Oh, man, this isn't going to end well. And Lord, what should I say to the wife? Tell her she's my princess. This is what he heard in his head. And he was like, wow, this is really off. This is not good. Tell her she's my princess. I love her. I see her. I still care about her. Oh my, this is never going to work, Lord. So he gets out of the car. He walks up to the gentleman as he's getting in the car in the middle of a snowstorm and says, sir, can I give your wife some flowers? And his eyes got huge. Yeah, you can, all excited. You can give my wife flowers. So he hands her the flowers and said, ma'am, I was praying. The Lord told me to get flowers and to give them to you and to say these words. You're my princess. I still love you and I still care about you. And a tear drops down her eye, and he turns to leave. Pastor Eric turns to leave because he's done it. He's done the crazy, weird thing in the middle of the snowstorm. And she says, wait, who are you? So I'm a youth pastor down the road, and he got in his car and he left. By the time he got home, the house phone has rung. His wife's on the phone, and she says, come here. It's one of the parents of one of your kids from the youth group. He wants to talk to you. He gets on the phone. Hello? Eric, Pastor Eric. Did you just give an elderly couple flowers at a grocery store in the middle of the snowstorm? And he goes, yeah. Well, why did you do that? God told me to. He said, do you know who they are? I have no idea who they are. I just did what God told me to do. And he said, the guy on the phone says, that's my aunt and uncle. Do you know what's going on with them? No, I don't know them. I just gave them flowers. And he says, Pastor Eric, they just coming back from the hospital, my aunt found out she has cancer. And as they were driving, she said to her husband, when I was younger, I used to believe in God. I used to believe that he cared about me, and then I was his princess. And I don't think he exists anymore, because look, I have cancer. And they're in the grocery store, and she says to her husband, can you get me some flowers? It's been a terrible day. Can you get me some flowers? And he says, honey, we really can't. We can't get the flowers this week, this month. We got other things we need to spend the money on. And sadly, they walked out to the car, and this crazy youth guy who listened to God walked up and handed them flowers. As we read the Word of God and go deeper in relationship with Him, the eyes of our heart, our intellect, coincide with our soul and cause us to act in things that glorify God and bring unity Amen. And grace to people. Amen. So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. And when those things line up with what's going on in your brain, let your feet act, let your mouth open, because people need to hear from God. And He's chosen you and me to speak for Him. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, You are so good. You are the hero of every story. You're the hero in Pastor Eric's life. You're the hero in my life. And I ask right now that You would speak to every single one of us sitting here. I ask that You would open up the eyes of our heart. And the things You have said to us would cause us to act in such a way that would bring glory to You and love to somebody's soul. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.